Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Great Halifax Explosion by John U. Bacon revisits one of the most catastrophic man-made disasters in modern history, the 1917 collision in Halifax Harbor that triggered a blast rivaling wartime bombardments. Set against the pressures of World War I, the book frames the event not only as an accident, but as the product of crowded shipping lanes, secrecy, miscommunication, and human decisions made under stress. Bacon, known for narrative-driven nonfiction, uses the explosion as a lens to explore how a strategic port became a powder keg, how ordinary residents and sailors faced unimaginable destruction in seconds, and how relief efforts surged across borders in the days that followed. Alongside the tragedy, the story highlights acts of courage by first responders, medical workers, and civilians who improvised amid shattered infrastructure and winter storms. The result is an accessible, fast-moving account that connects local calamity to global conflict and lasting public memory. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a wartime port turned pressure cooker. A central theme is how World War I transformed Halifax into a critical Atlantic hub, and, in doing so, magnified everyday risks into systemic danger. The harbor handled intensified traffic, military logistics, and merchant shipping under tight schedules and heightened anxiety about sabotage and enemy action. That wartime context encouraged secrecy and urgency, two conditions that can erode safety culture. The book emphasizes how congestion, constrained navigation channels, and a constant flow of vessels increase the chance that a small mistake could cascade. It also explores how wartime rules and priorities shape decision-making, including how information moved or failed to move between authorities, pilots, and crews. Rather than depicting the explosion as an isolated mishap, the narrative points to an ecosystem of constraints, limited room for maneuvering, harsh weather, and the strain placed on port management. By grounding the disaster in the wider war, the story clarifies why Halifax was uniquely vulnerable in 1917, and why a single collision could become a citywide catastrophe. The topic helps readers understand the real lesson of the event. Disasters often emerge from environments where incentives favor speed and security over caution and transparency. Secondly, collision, combustion, and the physics of catastrophe. The explosion is presented through a clear chain of events. Two ships converging, a collision in the Narrows, fire spreading, and a delay before the final detonation. This topic focuses on how timing and physics mattered as much as human intent. Once the fire began, the situation shifted from navigational accident to impending mass casualty event, yet the hazard was not immediately understood by everyone nearby. The book highlights how people interpreted what they saw, from sailors attempting damage control to residents gathering at windows and shorelines, unaware of the scale of danger. It examines the destructive mechanics of the blast, shockwave, flying debris, collapsing buildings, and the deadly combination of glass and splinters that turned homes and streets into injury zones. The aftermath included fires, infrastructure failures, and a winter setting that complicated survival. By explaining how quickly conditions changed and how limited the warning window was, the narrative shows why so many decisions were made with incomplete information. The broader takeaway is that in high-risk environments, disasters can unfold faster than institutions can react, making preparedness, clear signaling, and hazard awareness crucial even when the exact threat is rare. Thirdly, responsibility, misjudgment, and the search for answers. Another major topic is accountability, how communities and governments assign responsibility after an event that feels both accidental and preventable. The book follows the tension between immediate blame and the slower work of investigation, emphasizing that wartime pressures and institutional rivalries can distort that process. In disasters, people often look for a single villain, but the narrative points to layers of contributing factors, including operational choices, procedural gaps, and communication breakdowns. It considers how authorities balance the need for public reassurance with the reality that systems had failed, and how legal and political consequences can shape the story told afterward. This includes the challenge of evaluating decisions made in seconds under uncertainty, as well as the influence of national security concerns during wartime. The topic underscores that truth-seeking is not only technical, but also social, affected by power, reputation, and the desire to restore order. By treating the post-explosion inquiries as part of the story rather than an appendix, the book shows how societies learn or fail to learn from catastrophe. The reader is left with a nuanced view. Preventing future tragedies requires more than identifying a mistake. It demands confronting the structures and incentives that made the mistake likely. Fourthly, extraordinary heroism in the first hours and days. The narrative foregrounds the human response, doctors, nurses, clergy, soldiers, sailors, and civilians who stepped into chaos with limited tools and no clear command structure. This topic explores what heroism looks like when formal systems are overwhelmed. Hospitals faced surges of wounded, shortages of supplies, and damaged facilities, yet improvised triage and emergency care emerged quickly. Volunteers cleared rubble, searched for survivors, carried the injured through debris, and organized makeshift shelters. Communication and transport were disrupted, so information traveled by word of mouth and ad hoc messengers. The book also captures the psychological dimension, as rescuers confronted mass trauma while still trying to protect neighbors and family. Winter conditions added urgency, making warmth, food, and temporary housing as critical as medical treatment. The story highlights that heroism was not only dramatic acts, but also sustained labor, keeping clinics running, maintaining public order, and caring for children and the displaced. By detailing collective action, the book argues that resilience is built from relationships and civic habits long before a crisis occurs. Readers see how leadership can arise from anywhere, and how communities can organize under extreme uncertainty when compassion and practical problem-solving align. Lastly, Cross-Border Aid and the Legacy of Shared Memory, Beyond Halifax, the book emphasizes how the disaster triggered a rapid outpouring of assistance, demonstrating early forms of large-scale emergency relief. Aid networks mobilized across regions, and the response became a template for later disaster cooperation. One enduring element is the relationship between Halifax and Boston, often remembered through continuing traditions of gratitude and remembrance. This topic looks at how relief shipments, medical teams, and fundraising traveled quickly despite damaged infrastructure and wartime constraints. It also considers how communities decide what to memorialize, which stories become symbols, which groups are celebrated, and how anniversaries sustain public awareness. The explosion left long-term effects on urban planning, safety regulation, and civic identity, reshaping how residents viewed risk in an industrial harbor city. The book treats memory as part of recovery, not simply a retrospective act. Public commemorations can unify people, but they can also simplify complicated histories, so the narrative encourages readers to hold both truth and meaning together. The legacy discussion shows why this event remains relevant. It illustrates the human capacity to help strangers at scale, and it reminds modern readers that preparedness, mutual aid, and transparent governance are essential defenses against the next unexpected crisis. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for readers who enjoy narrative nonfiction, World War I history, maritime and industrial disasters, and stories of civic resilience. It also benefits professionals and students in emergency management, public policy, medicine, and urban planning who want a vivid case study of how multiple small failures can align into a single devastating outcome. The practical value lies in its clear reminder that catastrophe is rarely only about one moment of impact. It is about conditions that make impact likely, the speed at which confusion spreads, and the difference that preparation and coordinated leadership can make. Readers can take away a sharper awareness of risk communication, the importance of drills and protocols, and the power of neighbor-to-neighbor action when institutions are strained. Compared with similar disaster histories, Bacon's approach stands out for linking local events to wartime dynamics and for balancing tragedy with sustained attention to heroism and recovery. The writing aims to keep the human stories in view without losing the larger system's perspective, making it both emotionally compelling and instructive. For anyone interested in how societies endure shock and rebuild, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support John U. Bacon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.